Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. This evening, I've decided I'm going to take maybe the easy way out and play a rather long clip on all the things that are going on right now in terms of preparation for World War III. The Meyer material has some prophetic things to say about World War III, and I've just scratched the surface with trying to get all that information together. One thing mentioned in the Goblet of Truth, it says things have already reached a stage when a clash of industrial nations could occur, something which can scarcely be stopped any longer. And this will also cast the nations of the Third World into the same darkness. And if this happens, a third global conflagration will be imminent in whatever form it takes. Meaning it could be a war, it could be the collapse of nature, it could be other things. Even Askett told Billy that the Earth humans must pay very precise attention to these things because otherwise a worldwide war of annihilation threatens him, which as the Third World War could bring the final defeat and enslavement of the Earth people. And she goes on to say that at that time, this was all being directed and steered by the malicious extraterrestrial life forms under the Pyramid of Giza. These were called the Giza Intelligences or the Befoth, and they are no longer around. But we are still heading towards this global thermonuclear war. So I'm going to kind of sit back this evening, I think, and play this next clip. It's extremely long, but it does a super good job of explaining all the events that are leading up to Third World War. Even our election, I think, is heading in that direction. So perhaps tomorrow I'll be more energetic and we'll be back on target, but I thought a clip tonight would be appropriate. So let me get this started, and we'll have a rather short show this evening.
The predictions of international analysts about Third World War are beginning to take shape. Nations will again face war in a global scale, bringing humanity again into the chaos, disaster.
Anyone who is engaged in monitoring what is happening every day will realize that we are faced with a critical and delicate situation. An economic crisis, which since 2008 has been sinking economies and impoverishing developed countries. The appearance of conflicts facing the world's major powers are the main topics that cause not only political experts, but also many ordinary people to worry about the very real possibility that we will find ourselves in the outbreak of a new global conflict. The war in Syria started in 2011 between the Syrian government and the rebels, involving crucially Russia and the United States, with Putin supporting Bashar al-Assad and Obama supporting the rebel side. Russia is not willing to allow the US and its allies to invade Syria, since in addition to Syria being an important ally of Russia, Russia has a naval base in the Syrian city of Tarsus, making Syria strategically important for Russia in the Middle East. Not only does Syria have the support of Russia, China and Iran are other allies of Assad who are not willing to see the West invade Syria. Russia has for a long time provided military equipment to the Syrian army and sent warships to the area, recently also adding air support to the forces of Assad, as well as the sending of troops by Iran. On the other side are the alliance of America and their allies, bombarding Syrian territory and supporting the rebel enemies of Assad. Therefore, a clash between these powers and the attacks that are happening, or a clear ground invasion by the White House and NATO in Syria, would almost certainly lead to the worsening of the conflict, pushing other major nations to enter and cause the outbreak of a war on a large scale. Something similar is happening with the conflict in Ukraine. A conflict started in 2014 by the annexation of Ukrainian territories by Russia, with the ensuing confrontation between the forces of the Ukrainian government and the pro-Russian rebels. Since then, a race has happened in which Russia has been, according to reliable sources, sending troops, tanks, and weapons to the pro-Russian separatists, while the European Union, together with NATO and the United States, have been doing the same thing with the government of Ukraine, a conflict that faces principally the US and Russia, as well as the European Union and NATO. Despite no direct conflict having yet occurred, from the year 2013, tensions heightened between the two Koreas, even reaching the breaking of the armistice of 1953, which had set in stone the non-aggression between the two countries. The North Korean regime of Kim Jong-un is carrying out several nuclear test detonations, not only as a show of force, but as a response to the economic sanctions that the UN has applied to this country, and the maneuvers of American and South Korean combat forces underway in waters close to North Korea. The resumption of a conflict between North Korea and South Korea, with the participation of the US supporting the latter, would also likely see the involvement of Russia, and especially China, supporting the North Korean regime. Iran's nuclear program, which the government of Iran says has the objective of improvements to healthcare, has made powers such as Israel and the United States suspicious, arguing that the true purpose of the program is to create nuclear bombs to attack their respective countries, leading these countries together with Europe to enforce economic sanctions against Iran to deter them from building their suspected weapons of mass destruction. This situation has led to escalating tensions, especially between Iran and Israel, with the latter declaring itself willing to attack Iran to stop its nuclear program. Arguably, the worst outcome would be that the US and Israel invade Iran. Russia and China would likely also support Iran without hesitation. We should also note the complex diplomatic situation between the US and Venezuela. The economic crisis, which has for several years consumed Venezuela, has resulted in bloody protests against the government of Nicolas Maduro, with the United States punishing it with harsh economic sanctions. If the US attempted to invade Venezuela under the pretext of protecting the civilian population, a serious conflict could begin that would involve other allies of Venezuela, including several Latin American countries, as well as possibly also Russia and China. If we consider all these rising diplomatic tensions and potential conflicts confronting the world's major powers, along with the global economic crisis we are suffering, it is not difficult to imagine the outbreak of a world war on an unprecedented scale. But should we really be worried? Or will the outbreak of this global conflict just be a distant possibility, even with all these conflicts and tensions? There have been countless localized conflicts since the end of World War II, so why should we listen to pessimism and alarmist warnings? Arguably, the best way to understand whether the most powerful nations are considering the possibility of war is to look at what decisions they are making. For example, the Chinese government is without transparency increasing its military strength and expanding its territory in the sea and air, multiplying its military budget by 4 in 10 years, and heightening tensions with rivals such as Japan, South Korea, and the US. China has also increased its rice imports from 575,000 tons of rice in 2011 to 2.6 million tons in 2012. What is alarming about all of this is that all of this imported rice is being stored. The Chinese government has in recent years been building huge cities with the capacity for 64 million people, already completed but still uninhabited, built in areas far from existing settlements, for example in the Mongolian desert. Notably, Russia built 5,000 underground shelters in Moscow in 2012. Russian government officials have stated that these bunkers are for the general population, and this project is carried out by way of caution, and not as a way of creating panic about future events. On the other hand, Europe has quickly designed, built, and equipped the so-called Doomsday Seed Vault in Svalbard, Norway, which contains tens of thousands of seed varieties. It can reasonably be assumed that these seeds are being preserved in case of a major event, such as a nuclear war or a natural disaster. Russia, for its part, is also creating a warehouse with the DNA of virtually all living beings on Earth, and some already extinct, through the Moscow State University. The project seeks to collect DNA from all beings existing to freeze and preserve them, and has financial support from the Russian government of $194 million. On the other hand, the government of the United States has been accumulating tens of millions of emergency meals and other supplies, regionalizing their emergency nationwide distribution centers. The government has also bought nearly 2 million units of ammunition in recent years, and the Pentagon has been actively developing and practicing live simulations for situations from economic collapse to large-scale and consistent civil unrest. Since 2012, Russia has begun modernizing its missile system, producing S-400 Triumph missiles, which are surface-to-air missiles, with bases located in coastal and border areas of the country. Vladimir Putin approved on December 26, 2014, a new military doctrine that sees the US and NATO as their biggest threats. Putin also announced on June 16, 2015, that Russia is increasing its nuclear arsenal, adding more than 40 intercontinental ballistic missiles to its equipment, following a complaint by the Russian authorities about an apparent US plan to deploy tanks and weapons on the borders shared by NATO states with Russia. Adding to the crisis, there have also been numerous sightings of Russian military units, aircraft, ships, and submarines in Europe. Considering all these contributions to the tension, here are some examples of how the powers are preparing for an imminent conflict to protect their core interests. The US, facing the economic crisis that endangers its hegemony as the first economic power and the advance of China to take its place, has prompted the Obama administration to undertake one of the old strategies of the USA, the invasion of countries in the Middle East to take over its natural resources, oil and gas.
Well, I think I'm going to make a go of it anyway. That's an interesting clip on potential World War III event. I think we're so close, unfortunately, that it's really hard to even wrap our minds around. Barely have been able yet to scratch the surface on the story of the World War III and potential World War III. I'm going to throw the call-in number in. If anybody wants to call in, we can chat a little bit about the Meyer material. That's 917-889-7099. Billy's been talking about the potential for World War III for a while. We're living in a time, it's called the third millennium. Billy was warned by Svath of the third millennium, which began actually in terms of an era in 1945 when the United States dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, if you're new to the show, Svath was Billy's first extraterrestrial mentor. Billy started having telepathic images back in 1945 when he was a five-year-old boy. He was growing up in Belak, Switzerland, which is northern Switzerland. He He started to get these telepathic messages from an extraterrestrial human named Spoth, who told him that he in previous lives had been the people that we call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And in each one of these lifetimes, he taught an ancient universal teaching called the Teaching of the Spirit, which talked about a universal intelligence, a universal consciousness, which really didn't behave like our religions have taught us. It wasn't so much a heavenly father as a neutral positive spirit. And this superintelligence, which runs our universe, is neither good nor evil. And it's evolving. It's not this immutable God, this unchanging God that's all perfect. It's a superintelligence. It's the greatest universal intelligence in our universe. But it is evolving, and it creates human spirit forms to help it with its evolution. A spirit form is a tiny fragment of the universal consciousness. Our spirit form resides in the center of our midbrain in an area called the superior colliculus. And it enters into our physical bodies when we're 21 days old in our mother's womb. And when the spirit form comes in, it brings an energy throughout the whole body, causes your heart to beat. It brings in with it a new consciousness. If the spirit form doesn't come in, no consciousness comes in. The spirit form is a spiritual consciousness, but the spirit form cannot think creatively. And because of that, it needs a material consciousness. Every human being has a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. Your material consciousness is new with each lifetime. So the spirit form and what's called the overall consciousness block prepare a new personality for you in your new life, a new consciousness. Your spirit form contains the wisdom from your previous lives. It takes in between lifetimes in the spiritual realm, the overall consciousness block processes the information learned in the previous life. And it converts that information into what are called essences. Essences like love and wisdom and discernment, peace, stability. These are taken in their essences and they're stored in the spirit form. So the spirit form gets smarter, wiser, more powerful with each physical lifetime. Now, if Billy's information is correct, most spirit forms on the earth are about 4 to 5 million years old. That means you and I are probably, in terms of our spiritual consciousness, 4 to 5 million years old. So whether or not your body, your material consciousness, it could be 20, 30, 40, 50 years old or older or younger. Your spirit form, though, could be millions of years old. In fact, the Meyer material says there are a group of spirit forms on the planet that are about 8 to 12 million years old. These are people that came to the Earth on spacecraft in the very, very ancient past, hundreds of thousands of years ago, that existed in lifetimes in Atlantis, or in the civilization of Pelagon before Atlantis, or they may have in fact even come to the Earth with the original group of Lyrians. There were two migrations of Lyrians to the planet Earth. One, I think, was 389,000 years ago. And before that, a short migration about 22 million years ago. The 389,000 years ago, I think, was the time when there were some activities that took place that violated certain rules and regulations, even of the extraterrestrials themselves. So in order to punish these Lyrians who abused Native Earth humans, who had sex with them, who did engineering on them, the powers and authorities from Lyra Vega said, look, we've come up with an appropriate punishment for you. All we're going to do is take away your technology, and we're going to leave you on the earth with these people that you've abused. And what that meant was that these very highly advanced extraterrestrials were going to die on the earth, and they were going to enter into the reincarnational patterns of the earth. So they would reincarnate on the earth into a civilization thousands and thousands and thousands of years behind the civilization that they had just lived in. So they were going to have to reincarnate and live thousands and thousands and thousands of years in a society that was much more primitive than what they had just been involved in. Now that is truly a punishment, if you think about it. That's an astonishing punishment. So yes, our spirit forms can be very ancient. The spirit form cannot think creatively. And that's why one reason why it needs a material consciousness. And what's fascinating is the spirit form creates this thing called the overall consciousness block, which resides in the spirit realm. Now, the spirit realm is the area around the planet where it exists in the same physical location but in a different dimension. And when you die, your spirit form comes out of your body and it goes into the spiritual realm. And your I, what's called your I, your ego, then kind of gets dissolved, so to speak, and all of the knowledge associated with your previous life is processed. And that's why the time in the spirit realm is so important, because that's the time of learning that's so important. Now, what happens when there's overpopulation, the spirit form comes back in too soon, and it doesn't get the time it needs in the spirit realm to really learn from its life experiences. So this is the horrific nature of overpopulation. Is it not only hurts us in the physical realm, it not only destroys nature and all of nature and leads us to have wars and diseases and a miserable life on the physical side, but it also cuts short things on the spiritual side. So overpopulation is a horrific problem on the planet. It's probably the biggest problem. If you ever have to commute into a city, you'll see the danger. You'll see the traffic. You'll see the constant destroying of animals from the roads. And anyway, let me explain this from a slightly different perspective. I've talked about the seven stages that human lives go through. We here on Earth are in phase two, which is we start out in primitive life. Society goes into rational life. Eventually, here on the Earth, hopefully we'll move into the intelligent life, would be the next phase that we evolve into. If we don't destroy ourselves with this global thermonuclear war, which we're right on the precipice of, because Bashar al-Assad in Syria and the Russians are fighting against ISIS, and our government who is completely in the wrong, is considering creating a no-fly zone in Syria, which would cause, in which would potentially shoot down a Russian plane, which would cause the Russians to respond, which could lead into this third global war that Billy's warned about. So we're much closer than we realize. That would be one way to slow down the onslaught of overpopulation. But it would send us back. It would send us back into primitive times. Instead of moving on into the third stage of evolution, intelligence, we as a whole society would probably slide back into the primitive stage. And I think what has happened on the earth in these ancient civilizations, whether it was Atlantis or the civilization of Pelagon, is we've gone through, let me walk through these stages. We've gone through these stages, primitive, rational life, intelligent life. Now the extraterrestrial civilizations, they came here, like Atlantis and Lemuria, were already at least in stage four. Because after stage four, we go into what's called real life, where we unlock the ability, the secrets of space travel. We can jump from star to star with almost no time passing. We also create a biological, we have the ability to create, through genetic engineering, sentient biological intelligence, which is stunning. And these biological intelligences will run our spacecraft. And Semyase's spacecraft has a sentient central computer that's biological that she can communicate with telepathically. Now, this is a very distressful thing for people of a very religious background here. And it was also disturbing for me to hear, quite honestly, when I first learned it. Billy talks about religions as having the effect on us of stunning our growth. They're kind of like a prison for our minds. So just be aware that this information, although it will cause you cognitive dissonance initially, it will free up your mind, which will eventually bring you a greater understanding, a larger sense of stability and peace and happiness. So in any sense, if we don't wipe ourselves out in the third global conflagration, which is talked about in the Goblet of Truth, we will go into stage three, which is intelligent life, and then from there we go to stage four, which is real life, where we get the spacecraft, which can conquer those vast distances in no time at all. They can jump from star to star. Ships will even have biological intelligence. Our AI will be biological. It will be incredibly intelligent, and it will have an affinity for organic life. And then eventually we get to stage five, which is called life and creation and wisdom. And that's where the Plarnar, people like Ptah, or Ishwish, they're kings of wisdom. Semyase was almost at the Ishwish stage. Quetzal is a king of wisdom. And in the fifth stage, it's the final stage where we need a physical body. The planet Plarnar are there. They're probably their whole planet. 529 million people are at the stage of the Ishwish or close to it, and they're ready to move as a society to the second phase of human life. We spend 40 to 60 million years incarnating into a physical body. That also includes the time in the spiritual realm. And then we spend 56 million years in the half physical and half spiritual body. That's the next phase that the Plarnar will go into. And then we move into what's called the seven spiritual planes, and we will spend 2.9 billion years in that stage. And eventually, we will merge back with creation. Now, the spirit form is not able to think creatively. It's not really conscious the way we think of consciousness until it merges back with creation. The Meyer material says the human spirit can never enter into an animal or a plant. The Meyer information says there is no heaven or hell. It says that creation creates the spirit form in order to help this universal intelligence evolve. The creation expands for 155 trillion years, and we are 46 trillion years into that expansion phase. The creation is said to be the being and the non-being of life. It is unmeasurable in its knowledge. And everything within creation is in an evolution process. There is a purpose to life. Our purpose is in evolving our consciousness. And not only our own consciousness, but we are also evolving the universal creation. So there is a oneness to the universe. There's a oneness to humanity. And eventually we will unite and create a global language. German would be a good candidate for the global language. The oneness of creation is talked about in a book called The Talmud of Emmanuel. In The Talmud of Emmanuel, it says that the body and the spirit are a unity and not a duality. That the body is a part of the spirit, but it's a different form and matter. Therefore, it is one with the spirit, and consequently, they are not two. So the Meyer material said that everything emanates from a unity, and duality is only apparent to humans because our thinking is limited. Now, this article that I talk about, I have been talking about probably for a lot longer than I realize. It's called The Oneness of Creation and the Human Spirit. And it is a very, very challenging article to understand. I'll have to give you the URL to this. Now, we all have within us what's called the creational natural power. We all have this creational natural power, and Billy talks about this in one of his writings called Meditation from Clear Visibility. This is a book which I believe has been translated into English. I'm going to have to try to get that book. I can't believe I haven't got that book. And there are certain things in that book which I've memorized. I haven't really brought them into my mind in a while, but I think there's one verse which says, everything is achievable for me and I master all that I accomplish. Everything is achievable for me and I master all that I accomplish. Anyway, this book is a whole series of phrases like that, which help you in your meditation and help you bring yourself back to a neutral, positive state. Remember, always as you go through life, you should be evaluating your thought process. Am I in a neutral state? Which is the antithesis, the exact opposite of a religious fervor. You see these people, particularly in fundamentalist religion, where people get themselves completely worked up. I'll give you one of these meditative sentences. The more tranquil and tenacious I become, the more I cope with difficulties. The more tranquil and tenacious I become, the more I cope with difficulties. The creational natural power is within myself, and I use this, putting it into effect in my thinking and acting. The creation of natural power is within myself, and I use this, putting it into effect in my thinking and acting. I change myself positively with my consciousness bearing, and I utilize my creational natural power within myself for this. I am strong within myself and change my mental self-image positively. Everything is achievable for me, and I master whatever I wish to accomplish. I always raise my view, recognize all possibilities, and I am a positive thinker. Let me put this link into the chat room. It's out at the Future Mankind site. And this is just a small, I think, a small sample of this book. It's really a tremendous book. There's one of these that says, I always remain relaxed and thereby gain might over myself. I always remain relaxed and thereby gain might over myself. Here's one which is extremely good. My thoughts and feelings strengthen the trust in myself. My thoughts and feelings strengthen the trust in myself. I always abide with my knowledge that my thoughts and feelings are positive and generate what is positive. I always find my own strength and can depend on it. I must always decide and act on my own responsibility and lead and define my life myself. Anyway, the purpose of our lives is to evolve our consciousness. In order to do that, we have to stay in this neutral, positive state. And this is part of the creational natural laws. There is a creational natural law called the law of harmony. And what that means is you are in an internal harmonious state. You have both neutral and positive in a balance. You have the negative and the positive in a balance. So you're neutral. You're neutral positive. There's also the law of striving. And striving means you're continually working. You're focused. You're attempting to evolve your consciousness. You're attempting to be smarter. You're doing your work, your day job. You're doing your home job. Idleness is extremely dangerous. I was listening to some Meyer information earlier, and it may in fact be related to our topic this evening. Because I'm going to put the link in the chat room. This is out on the Future Mankind site, is what is announced comprehensively for the third millennium, prophetically and predictively. This is what I was trying to cover tonight, which is extremely challenging in some aspects. But I believe this is... here we go. Okay. Therefore, you human beings of Earth are no longer active to any great extent. Okay. So what we are supposed to be is very active. This is called the law of striving. It's a creational natural law. You as a person that's embraced the Meyer material should be very active. You should be continually learning, continually working. Always, you should be one of the best employees. You should be focused on evolving, okay? Okay, the problem is most humans on Earth are not doing that. It says here, therefore, you human beings of Earth are no longer active to any great extent, but take the path of idleness with an empty expression in your eyes. Now, this is why we have people making millions and billions of dollars on entertainment, because we are no longer living by the second creational natural law, which is the law of striving. But we've taken the path of idleness, and it says here, therefore, you human beings of earth are no longer active to any great extent, but take the path of idleness with an empty expression in your eyes, knowing not what you should do and where you should go, because you have nothing else to do that brings you joy and good reward. This is all a byproduct of not living to the creational natural law of striving. We should be continually striving to evolve ourselves. Let me continue here. And you human beings of earth, both young and old, are the ones who can no longer set down any roots in your life. You wander, demoralized and hopeless. You have no work and no home, with the result that you fight yourself in all things and you hate your present existence. So this is the social problem that we have. We have people that are idle. They have empty expressions. They have no roots. And the way you start to solve this, if you're stuck in this trap right now, if you're stuck in this trap in your life, you find something and you start working on it, buddy. If it's only sweeping out your garage, okay, then you do that. If it's getting yourself in better physical shape, you do that. You do anything and anything you can to improve yourself. And it to get you back into the law, the creational natural law of striving, because everything that lives has to strive to survive. Now, that's – so we've – covered two creational natural laws tonight. The first one is love. It's not the romantic love that is talked about. It's effective love. It's the love you feel for your brother or your sister, your dog or your cat. It has nothing to do with sexuality. I could go off on so many tangents there, but we are in big trouble in our society because we are not following the law of love, the law of wisdom-conditioned love, the law of brotherly love, the law of the true love, which is helping your fellow human being, helping animals, helping nature. We are destroying nature, okay? That's why our society is in big shape. The other creational natural law is called the law of harmony, and that means you have to stay in a neutral, positive frame of mind, and that's why we were quoting from those meditative sentences. And the third law is the law of striving, which you should constantly be at work. You should be an extremely busy, industrious person. So, since we've not followed the first three creational natural laws of the universe, every planet in this galaxy and all the galaxies that have human life on them, if you don't follow these laws, you're going to run into big trouble. Okay, what happens if you don't follow these laws? It says, to the extent of finally bringing it to an end yourself, suicide, bring your own life to an end. If you don't follow these laws, you'll get so depressed that you'll want to kill yourself. To the extent of finally bringing it to an end yourself, as has already been the case to an increasing extent since the 20th century and will become ever more widespread in the future. So people are going to be so depressed that they're going to want to end their own life. Therefore, with the third millennium, this time has already dawned in which things have quickly found their beginning and will develop ever more rapidly the longer they persist. So this is part of the challenge to continue in these creational natural laws. You know, we've had in many ways some very, very difficult challenges here on the earth. I was thinking about that today. In the ancient past, extraterrestrials came here. Some of them abused us. They upset our natural evolution. Some of these extraterrestrials stayed behind in terms of the Giza intelligences. They were actually on the Earth for thousands of years below the Giza plateau. They influenced Hitler, influenced the Thule Society. Hermann Steinschneider was a fellow that was kind of under the spell of these Giza intelligences. He influenced Hitler. And Hitler would have been a great person. But he went down this insane path because of these Giza intelligences. They succeeded in taking possession of Adolf Hitler's being and misused him for their dark and malicious purpose. Anyway, these Giza intelligences have been here. They were deceiving us. They were twisting the creational natural laws into religion. Billy went below the Giza intelligences. He went down to their underground base with his second contact, which was a woman named Asket. They saw a perfect replica of the cross, a perfect replica of the crown of thorns, a perfect replica of one of the nails that had one of the blood encrusted nails. This was going to be used to create another big religious delusion here on the earth. It never came about, thank goodness. So in any case, these religions have always been focused on getting us to depend on an outside source of power. The Meyer material says we need to be personally responsible. And we have a power within ourselves. A power. This is a real power. And the Meyer material talks about this. Embrace the power within yourself and use it for yourself. This is something you're going to have to work on yourself and figure out this power within you. I'm not going to tell you my personal experiences with this. I don't think it's appropriate yet. But in any case, we all have this incredible power. And we can start to depend on it. It is related to your spirit form. You heard of the swinging wave. You've heard me talk about the swinging wave. If you look in nature, Rupert Sheldrake is what I think is a pretty smart guy, pretty good scientist. He calls this the morphogenic field. And he says all of nature taps into this morphogenic field. Well, this is, to me, just another way of saying the universe, the universal consciousness. And you see the swinging wave, you see the birds change directions all simultaneously, so quick you can just barely see them change. They move so quickly. They're all connected. There's the morphogenic field on the planet. Now, I think, and this is just my speculation, this isn't the Meyer material, I think these crazy, this secret dark order that you've heard Billy talk about, they assault the morphogenic field on the planet. They do it intentionally to throw everything off. They create chaos to bring in their own solution. These people are really dark. And that's why we have such a battle going on in this current political situation. This is very difficult, but we'll get through this. So what we need to learn to do is depend on the power within ourselves, the spiritual consciousness. Now, why is it important to learn so much? Well, this is part of the creational natural laws of striving. And it says in the Goblet of Truth, if you're not prepared with good knowledge in the teaching of the truth, teaching of the spirit, and teaching of life, then do not decide to set forth and spread the teaching of truth. And that's kind of a warning to all of us. You know, take a lot of time to try to learn this stuff. And then when you're finally motivated to tell someone about it, you can tell someone about it. But we have to spend a lot more time in learning. Learning much in this lifetime will help us gain control of ourselves. That's part of our challenge here. Look at the global elite. And you're going to hear a lot of stuff from the WikiLeaks emails now that are going to be really disturbing. And you're going to learn about how corrupt our leadership is. These are people that live out of control. They do whatever they will. It doesn't lead to happiness. It leads to temporary stimulation. It leads to addiction. So always remain relaxed and gain might over yourself. The essence of all knowledge, experience, and wisdom, a lot of this is loaded into our subconscious with the memory of our predecessor personalities. So what you have learned from previous lives is placed in the memory of your subconscious. Memories can inspire us in future lifetimes. A lot of this memory also from our predecessor personality is in the external storage banks. I have a lot to learn about this. I do not understand these entirely. There's a storage bank associated with the planet. There's a storage bank associated with our solar system. There's a storage bank associated with our galaxy. There's a storage bank associated with our universe. When we die, nothing is lost from our experience. Somehow it goes into these storage banks. And if we can generate the appropriate frequencies with our mind, we can pull information back from our previous lives. So the Meyer material, it has a lot in it that's way ahead of where the planet is as a whole right now. It makes it a little difficult at times. There are certain things that are hard to discuss. One thing is the moon hoax. I'll give you a quick example. Now, the Meyer material says that Apollo 11 was faked. It wasn't real. Neil Armstrong never walked on the moon, according to the Meyer material. Now, the Meyer material says eventually we got there. You know, I still struggle with this. I do not struggle with Apollo 11 being faked. I'm struggling with us going at all at this point. So I have my own little internal things that I have to try to work out. Let me read something here about this is Contact 201 and the moon landings. It says, Quetzal says, as we have already explained several times, the Americans' Apollo 11 moon landing on July 20th, 1969 did not take place because everything was a great swindle through which the entire world was fooled. Further to say is that the moon landing swindle is also connected to murder. So we're talking about the global elite running out of control, being out of control. Well, they've murdered to keep this secret. Let me continue. And indeed, in the respect that in spite of the duty of silence of those involved, a great number couldn't be silent respectively, could not be silent, which led and will further lead to arranged accidents and illnesses with fatal consequences until the last involved person is no longer alive, whose silence is not securely established. And you're going to see that real soon happen related to this whole election and these email WikiLeaks. There are going to be people murdered over this. And one of the people I wonder about is Huma Abedin. Let me not go political. Let me stay back. Anyway, there are today, and I'm reading right here from Contact 201, this is Quetzal, remaining alive are only those who are hypnotically bound with their moon landing lies. So they themselves believe that the moon landing actually was realized, or at least that they have cooperated in the moon landing. So there's hypnosis. This global elite, they use hypnosis. They murder people. It's been around since the moon landings. The same kind of thing went on in the Kennedy assassination. It occurred in 9/11 with the whole thing. So we live in a world of chaos for certain, crazy, insane world that we live in. So hopefully this Meyer material can, you can evaluate it for yourself. All I'm trying to do with this show is stimulate thought. I'm not trying to get you to believe anything. I don't care. But if I can stimulate you to thought, then you can make your decisions for yourselves. One of the things that Billy has had to endure is attempts on his life. There's been 22 attempts on Billy's life. There could be more now. I don't know. This is just from my notes here. Billy has been attacked by government agents, by secret neo-Nazi groups, by the Befath, by people that were just jealous and had their own motivations, and also by a group called the Old Syrians from the Sirius system. They lived in a different space-time configuration. They traveled to the Sol system. They had a headquarters on Mars for a while. And eventually this group, which tried to kill Billy, they were rounded up. And unfortunately, all of the artifacts and human settlements on Mars were destroyed. And that's just the law of this old Assyrians, which is, again, a very unfortunate set of circumstances. If you look at some old photographs from Mars, you can see these old structures. They used to be there. They're not there anymore. And that's a very disturbing thing. Well, at least we know why. So we're dealing with this crazy election, which will come to an end shortly, and then we know where we stand. The Meyer material prophecy says the U.S. will break up into five different sections. There'll be two civil wars. And then after that, there will be another war. There will be things which run and happen automatically here in the U.S. Certain things like biological weapons will be released. Nuclear weapons will be released. They'll be released by automated systems that run outside of human control. And this will be, according to Meyer material, a potential possibility. I'm still hoping that won't happen and still trying to hold on for the good. Anyway, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I appreciate everyone that came to the chat room tonight. Thank you very much. Talk to you tomorrow, hopefully. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.